Hello, you're listening to Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by dim sum influencer JJ.
Amen. I'm into that.
Jesus Christ.
Well, he really likes dim sum.
Well, no, I want the China Pavilion to have dim sum instead of like a sit down Panda Express.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Well, and right beside me is the head Imagineer of the new Oppenheimer attraction, Sean.
I don't even remember talking about that.
Well, we were going to put insert IP into Mission Space by getting Interstellar, and then he said, let's just buy all of Nolan's stuff and make an Oppenheimer ride.
I stand by it. Even you can experience the Trinity test.
If you have a good title for my co-host after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to readygeeks@gmail.com. In today's episode, the geeks share some overlooked aspects of Walt Disney World that we would like to revisit. Walt Disney World is massive. So massive that even the most dedicated Disney fans, including us, can't possibly experience everything it has to offer in just a few trips. Sometimes we get stuck in our routines, walking past attractions, restaurants, or experiences without giving them a second thought. Whether it's an attraction we've skipped, a restaurant we've ignored, or an experience that we haven't given a fair shot, today we're taking a second look at the things we've missed or dismissed. So let's dive in.
Okay.
Did that in one shot. To the listener, you don't know how rare that is.
that was good. I like that intro.
Hang the banner.
Yeah.
Hang the banner. Andrew did it. today we're going to be talking about some things in the property on Disney property that we have overlooked our last couple of trips and we would like to get back to. Whether maybe we didn't like it the first time or want to retry it or...
Yeah, or some stuff is like stuff that you think that maybe, oh, I waited a really long time for it, I didn't think it was worth it, but maybe you need to give it a fair shake when you're not waiting on a super long line for it. Or maybe it's something you've just always walked past and never tried. And yeah. You're like, you know what? It's time.
Yeah. A couple of things too, like I've thought like, oh, this is a one and done thing. Like, I don't need to ever do this again. And then like after a couple of years, yeah, okay, I can do it again.
Let me try it again.
Yeah,
you know what?
Nope, still bad.
Well, you develop a different appreciation for things as you get older or your tastes change or things like that. So in our previous episode, Sean told us that he went to Sanaa for the first time, and that's something that he may not have done when he was younger, or, you know, because he's a picky eater, and that's a different type of culinary experience.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, I don't know, we're talking about those types of things, you know, things that you've overlooked in the past, and maybe you want to try again.
You know what, I'll just get started. And I'm going to take us to a little park called Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I actually got two things because I really kind of ignore Echo Lake. Apologies to Gertie. She's an icon. But that whole area, like, I'm just not often drawn into that spot. I'm like, Hollywood Studios is just like all about the rides for me. And then like when I do get a break, it's like based on Tap House, grab a beer.
Right.
You know? I want to try the Tune-In Lounge. I've been in there before. It's a nice space, but I've never, like, enjoyed it.
Where is that again? I don't think I've ever been in here.
The Tune-In Lounge?
Yeah.
It's connected to the 50s Primetime Cafe, which is the restaurant where they razz you.
The drive-in?
No, different one.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the sci-fi diner. Sci-fi,
that's what, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. That's why,
the 50s
yeah.
Primetime Cafe is, like... waiters and waitresses, they like razz you if you don't like finish your vegetables or something.
Oh,
like
it's
that.
Is that Dick's Last Resort?
No, it's not mean though.
Well, sure, but like yeah. it's that
yeah,
kind of where,
and it's supposed
they're to be a little, they're gonna be a little crass to you. They're going to be a little sarcastic.
Yeah, they're going to tell the kids, you got to eat your vegetables. You're not going to finish this? What? What are you doing? That type of thing.
Right, yeah.
And every room is themed to a 50s kitchen, like your home kitchen in the 50s, your dining room in the 50s.
Yeah, so it's like you're going to your aunt's house and she's made you dinner.
Yes.
Is like the premise of it.
Like a casual dining experience?
It's table service.
No, but like, right,
but it's
like
not it's, a nice, yeah, it's not super nice. It's
sandwiches and stuff.
Yes.
It's like, gotcha. It's like very 50 sorts.
Never,
it's like,
I've never been there.
It's like burgers and meatloaf and like, it's very much like 50s food.
Actually, and I've gone to the Primetime Cafe a bunch of times. I've gone to the Tune In Lounge a bunch of times, but I haven't been to the Primetime since I was young and it probably scarred me. Like, that's something I should try again.
The Primetime Cafe I went to, it's probably the last time I went to the Tune In Lounge was the last time I went to the Primetime Cafe, which I'm not a big fan of. It's just very average. And like when you're at a hot theme park day, I don't really want like 1950s comfort food. Like I don't want a big like meatloaf dinner.
Right.
Or like a chicken pot pie or something. Like, it's not the proper venue for it.
Yeah.
Now there's anything wrong with either of those foods. They're great. So I definitely want to revisit Tune In Lounge, and I also think it's time for me to revisit Star Tours because, you know, it's one of those rides, every time I've been on it, it's just my enjoyment has been getting less and less. And now with Monstropolis coming in, I think its days are numbered.
The writing's on the wall.
And maybe I should get a couple rides in before it is also on the chopping block.
I don't know what they were thinking about not using that area to be an expansion pad
for
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Well, you mean
Monstropolis. Like not having Monstropolis, but instead having Star Wars.
Putting Monstropolis
where the Muppets.
Where the Muppets is instead of saving that for an expansion to Star Wars Land.
Well, I think.
And bringing Star Wars Land all the way down to where Star Tours is.
Right.
Well, that's what I think that there certainly is a chance where eventually the entrance to Batuu gets moved out.
Yeah, but I don't think anymore now.
They're spending so much to build Monstropolis. They're going
to think that area is going to be completely. It's like they're going to change the pathways of how you get around over there.
I mean, if not, you'd have to take out the buildings of Baseline in order to like frame it so that
redirect it so that Monstropolis could fit in between areas of Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
So we're suddenly determining how they're going to build around the Baseline Tap House.
Well, it must be preserved at all costs.
It's a load-bearing bar in Hollywood Studios.
Must be preserved.
No, I don't think Galaxy's Edge in either park is going to get an expansion for a very long time.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's a lot.
I don't want to say if ever. I'm sure eventually they'll put another ride or something because they're not done making these movies or these shows. But a true expansion, I would say, 6 to 10 years.
Yeah, and they might be able to do an internal expansion.
Like for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they could go towards the Galaxy Star Cruiser, a.k.a. the Imagineering offices.
I was going to say, which is now going to be office buildings. What an absolute joke.
Yeah. All right.
Coolest office building I've ever seen, though.
Sean, why don't you bring us to one of your...
So I went kind of a different route rather than things that you've experienced in the parks before that you may want to do again. I kind of went outside the parks, things that are things you might have done or things you want to do that don't really have to do with being necessarily inside the park. My first one is really any kind of recreational activity that you are doing outside, specifically outside the park. I have played golf in Disney World and I've had a blast doing so. There's 4 or 5 courses. Most of them very well playable for people of any skill level. Disney has a couple mini golf courses, and at most of the resorts and especially the resorts on water, you can rent bikes and boats. Just thinking of things that I've specifically done on trips before that I haven't done in forever because it's been a long time since I've taken probably a long enough trip to justify carving out 5 hours or so to play a round of golf or half an afternoon to rent like a pontoon boat with your family. You go on a 3 or 4 day trip, you're not really thinking about anything other than going to the parks. But
right.
You know, on longer trips where you know you're going to have a resort day, you're building in at least 1 or 2, you know you're going to have a springs day, things that, you know, you're not necessarily thinking of doing. There's lots of things you can do at the resort that aren't necessarily park related, and a lot of them can be found when you get right and get in your hotel room. There's vouchers to play mini golf. There's things that, you know, they'll take you to right to the gate of the mini golf course, and there's just a lot to do that you don't think of that doesn't have to do with parks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's really good, and actually it's one of mine too. I put on there was mini golf in general, wanting to do mini golf. But you know, to add on to that, I've always wanted to do the foot golf.
Foot golf, yeah.
Yeah, at the Shades of Green golf course. What is that called? Magnolia?
Magnolia and Palm are the two there.
Okay, so at Magnolia or Palm, one of those, they have a foot golf course, which is combined soccer and golf. So right. You're kicking a soccer ball into like
a target. A target. That's far away.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I kind of wanted to try that. That's something really different.
Yeah.
That seems fun.
Yeah. It's like an evolution of the Frisbee golf thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I totally agree with you, too, on like getting one of the boats or something like that. We've talked about that on previous episodes, those pontoon boats.
I've rented boats two times on Bay Lake. And if you rent a boat at Bay Lake over at the Contemporary, you can take it through the canal that the ferry boats go through, and you can go into Bay Lake. So they let you go through as long as you keep your wake. They let you go through the you know, passage only for the ferry boats, and you can take it from Contemporary and circle around the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian. So it's a really cool,
that's cool,
a vantage point that you almost never will get any other time. Yeah, unless yeah. you are taking the Ticket Transportation Center ferry over yeah. to the Magic Kingdom.
I've done once before with they used to have small boats, like small speed boats.
I've done the two seater boat, and then I've done the larger pontoon with the family.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm going to throw in there too, the water parks. I don't know if
I didn't even think of those.
I've never been at a Disney World water park.
I haven't been in 15, 20 years. I've been
to Blizzard Beach, I think. I've never been to Typhoon Lagoon.
I've been to both.
I've been to Blizzard Beach twice. Wait, I think I've been to Typhoon Lagoon twice. Blizzard Beach is like the cooler one, the better one.
Blizzard Beach is themed like a blizzard.
Typhoon Lagoon
has the big shipwreck on the top of the thing.
I've been to Typhoon Lagoon twice, never been to Blizzard Beach, but I think the last time I went to Typhoon Lagoon, I was 10.
Yeah, Blizzard Beach has going for it is what I would call a big kid slide.
Yep, yep.
Where
it's a straight down.
It's one of those like almost straight down kind of like big drop slides.
Yeah.
And actually, Disney, if you're staying on property, the day you show up, they let you go to the water park for free.
I was gonna bring.
Oh, really?
Up.
That's something that me and Sam are considering, depending on what time we show up, how hot it is. Yeah. The next time we go, we're like, oh, maybe we should like check out one of these water parks.
That's cool. And actually makes it an idea of like, oh, maybe go the night before, get like a cheap hotel room somewhere, and so when you're arriving at Disney, you're arriving like
early in the morning to take advantage of having a full day at the water park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, you stay depending at a on
Motel
the season,
Six in Jacksonville, and you leave at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Blizzard Beach is, to me, screams like mid-90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is so 1995. Yes. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typhoon Lagoon, I think, is kind of cool. It has the wave pool, too.
It's more
the wave pool is what I remember.
It's more classic.
The concrete floor wave pool.
Yeah.
Definitely. My knees remember that.
Yeah, that'll leave a mark.
So, JJ, what's your number two?
I'll do my number two. oh, jeez. Get your... Stop. This is a family podcast.
I'll do my number two.
So we have to entertain the young kids, because they just all laughed with Sean on that.
Number two.
No matter how old you are,
how bawdy,
jokes are always funny.
Okay, so my next overlooked item is weird, because when this experience was in Hollywood Studios, I did it every time. And since it's left, I don't go to it. And that is, they have the Animation Academy that used to exist in the Animation Courtyard building that now is Star Wars Launch Bay. They used to have a whole place where Disney artists would teach you how to draw little sketches of the characters. Mm-hmm. And every half hour, it would be a different character, mm-hmm. and it would just run all day. And that exists in Animal Kingdom at Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Yeah.
And I never take that train up there.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you just think like, oh, it's just a goat petting zoo. But it's not. Because I get to do the thing that I love doing. It's like my favorite thing to kill time at Hollywood Studios that isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And now it's at Animal Kingdom and I haven't gone back. So it's like I'm well past due to go there.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, they also offer that at Art of Animation in the lobby. They run that.
That's cool.
So if you were doing like a Skyliner crawl or something, it would be a good way. You pair getting a drink at the pool bar at Art of Animation, and you do that, and then you leave, and you take the next stop over to, what is that, Caribbean Beach or Riviera? I don't know.
Caribbean Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I like that one. I've never done that either. Have you done that, Sean?
I've never done that. Is that where Uncle Joey goes in the Full House episode of...
Yes. Uncle Joey does go to the animation courtyard.
That was a pretty good
good reference.
Callback. All right, Sean, number two.
The next thing on my list actually is something that, depending on which one you do, could be in a park or not in a park. But I think one of the things that are overlooked, and maybe not necessarily because you have done them and don't want to do it again, I think maybe these kinds of things get overlooked because, number one, the cost of them, and number two, a lot of them are significant time commitments, and these are tours. I think that taking a tour at Disney World is something that everyone... There's different ones. I think there's at least one in every single park. And I could be wrong, but I think there are tours that exist outside the parks that take you around the resort. I don't know that for sure. But there's at least one tour in every park, and I think that they're worth everybody's time. Again, it's all about your budget. I know the Animal Kingdom one is incredibly expensive, but I have heard that if you're willing to pay the money for it, it's incredibly...
Which one? Yeah.
The one in Animal Kingdom.
The Savor the Savannah
is one of the. That's one of my bucket list experience.
I think that's one of the cheaper ones.
No, there's one where they take you basically into the safari. It's like a private safari tour.
Yeah, I did that with Emily in 2018.
It was
Savor the Savannah. Sounds like a food thing.
It was. You would go on a tour of the Savannah. Oh,
they have,
and then they brought you to an observation location
at the lodge or at the park?
At the park.
They have one that's more expensive.
Yeah.
At that is in the safari as well. They take you on a safari tour, and then it's like adventuring where you like.
Do you get to get out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They take you across like the crocodile thing. You like
Wild Africa Trek.
Wild Africa Trek.
That's what.
And
it
they
is.
Like you don't zip line, but like. They make you like you're like you wear a harness like and you that. Walk across these like
this.
Rope bridges and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one is more pricey.
It's per person. It's $229.
Yeah, and it doesn't include your park ticket.
Right.
So you got to buy a park
that's
ticket.
That's an expensive day.
That's a bucket list item.
Day. Yeah.
That or VIP for just double.
Yeah, just double the cost.
Just double that. Just double it. Just double it one time, and you get to go to four parks, and you can ride Stuff to Be a Bug as many times as you want. Yeah.
Well, Sean, I think that's a good idea, though. It's a good bucket list item to try out one time.
Yeah. I've taken a tour. I did the Keys to the Kingdom tour. I would do it again. It's been a while since I've taken it, but I think tours are definitely worth your at least looking into. If you're on a long enough trip and you have an afternoon where you can carve out 3 or 4 hours or maybe more, depending on the tour, I think Keys to the Kingdom is 5 hours. Worth it.
And some of them aren't that expensive. The Behind the Seeds tour, like this, that probably should have been on my list because it's so high on something that I want to try. And basically, they just take you into the greenhouse. It's just a longer version of Living with the Land. But sounds fun.
And they, I think that is cheaper. It's like $30 or $60.
Yeah, it's less than $50.
Yeah.
$30 or $40, I believe.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
Okay, Andrew, what about your next your next overlooked item?
So my next overlooked item is going to be at the resorts. And I think that people, when they check into the resort, don't realize how many activities are there at the resort for you to do.
Yeah.
For free. Some of them you might have to pay a little bit extra for. Like, they always have tie-dyeing for kids, or painting classes where they'll give you a, like, ceramic castle, and then you paint the castle the way you want to paint, and they show you, like, you know, what paint colors to use. But you have to buy the castle from them, the ceramic castle. But usually these are, you know, nominal costs. You know, like, they're not very expensive. But there's a lot of free things to do at the resorts. Like, almost every resort has a movie that they play every night.
Yep.
For kids.
S'mores.
Yep.
And then there are some upcharged ones. I know one that I want to do is at Animal Kingdom Lodge. They do you can get, like, night vision goggles and go into the safari area.
Yep.
But that is an upcharge. And there's also, what you've said this on the pod before about Wilderness Lodge, the park rangers, right?
Yes. So my dad found a park ranger. They, you know, it's show up at, you know, 9 a.m. at this location, and the park ranger will take you on a tour, right? And so he takes you on a tour around the Wilderness Lodge and points out all the architecture, what everything means, you know, the what everything stands for and everything like that, and, you know, what's based on. It's my dad really liked it. He went to him 2 days in a row.
That's awesome.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that you could do at the resort, and all you have to do is go to the lobby, and they usually have printed out schedules.
Yeah, printed
out schedules.
And I brought that up too at the animation, at the Art of Animation, the Animation Academy they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a very much overlooked perk. Everyone thinks that, you know, it's just like, oh, this is a well-themed hotel with a nice pool at, you know, at Disney. But they're doing other stuff too.
Yeah. And hopefully they don't get rid of that, because I feel like a lot of that came about because, you know, they wanted you to stay for like 3 or 4 days or 5 days, but there was only two parks, you know, Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And then now, since like the 90s, we now have four parks, and
does seem like something that seems easy to cut. And
It seems in my experience from resort hopping, the resorts that offer the most specifically activities, like, for kids, are like the deluxe resorts.
That's like, true.
You know, they're not offering a ton of things for kids to do at Pop Century or at, you know, Port Orleans. But, like, I have been to the Polynesian at about 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, and they have outdoor lawn games, giant chess and checkers and can jam and cornhole and fountains going off. And it's basically every kid that's staying in the hotel is out playing, and the parents are basically having drinks, and everyone's having a good time. But you don't see that at the other hotels, maybe because they don't have the space, or maybe they just want to make sure the people that are staying there are, you know, getting their money's worth because they're traveling with the kids. But
and a lot of that also is occurs at DVC resorts too. Like the Boardwalk and Old Key West. I think a couple others have community halls where you go there and there'll be a cast member there during the day that will pretty much, like, play with your kid.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, there'll be, like, video games that they can play, foosball, pool. There'll be, like, different scheduled events, like tie-dye and stuff like that.
I vividly remember, and there's a picture of it somewhere, when we got to Old Key West on the trip we took. We were there so early that we couldn't check in. There was nothing to do. We sat in, like, they had a room like that. It was like a community room, and there were, like, chess tables and checkerboards. And we were playing, like, board games at 9 o'clock in the morning in our sweatpants, because we had just pulled up.
We
had to wait till 3 o'clock to check in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, JJ, how about number three?
Okay. So my next one, I'm going to Epcot. There's a theme in mine.
Parks.
I'm going to each park.
Whoa.
It's a place that I think in the past was in a more convenient spot, and then it went away, and it's now back. Club Cool.
Nice.
Club Cool, interesting place. Try some sodas from around the world. Maybe trick a friend into drinking Beverly.
The Beverly. That's from what? That's from Italy?
Yeah, Italy. Yeah. But I don't think they drink it like a soda. I think it's like a mixer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they treat it like this is a refreshing beverage.
I don't think I've ever had Beverly.
Well,
next time you
got something on your list.
Yeah.
There's a soda that you can get there, and I'm going to look it up now. I've sought it out at, like, as you know, like grocery stores will have like international food aisles. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look it, cuz there's one that I had at Club Cool that I remember buying at like ShopRite, looking for, cuz I wanted it to drink it again so bad.
There's a cucumber Sprite
that might be pretty good. Honestly, that might be it.
And then there's also a there's like a watermelon version of like a watermelon Fanta that people like. It's like drinking a watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
But yeah, it's all from around the world. It's like, oh, this is popular in India, and this thing's popular in this country. So it's cool, and it fits the Epcot vibe of like you're going for a tour around the world, but with soda.
Inca Cola.
Inca Cola.
From Peru. Known as the taste of Peru, this soda has an unusually sweet, fruity flavor that many compare to the taste of liquid bubble gum. Yes, that's exactly what it was. The name Inca Cola refers to the, I'm not going to try to pronounce that word, something word for king and queen, Inca Cola.
I got to try
it. It's basically like drinking bubble gum.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Do they, now this is something, do they rotate them or is it always the same sodas?
I'm looking at a picture that I believe is from like, it's always mostly the same. Because all these pictures are of the same man.
How many could there be?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 8 in the fountain.
I mean, have you seen a Coke Freestyle machine?
Oh, there's... Wait. There's 8? That's it?
No, yeah, it's like...
How big is Club Cool?
It's not huge.
It's not a big spot.
There's like four or five
soda
machines. What Club Cool is basically a gift shop for Coca-Cola.
Right.
Yes. And it's an offshoot of what is available for you in Disney Springs, the big Coca-Cola bar and whatever.
The rooftop bar.
Yeah.
Maybe that's on the list.
I don't know if the new iteration of Club Cool is still a Coca-Cola store.
Yes, it is.
But it was just always, it was like basically the size of a gift shop you'd find at the end of a ride.
Yeah.
But it was all Coca-Cola merchandise. And in the middle, they had like 3 or 4 little kiosks that had the sodas that were basically free. And you'd get little like bathroom cups.
It's right next to Connections Cafe now.
It used to be, I think, over where...
It was on the other side.
Yeah, it was on the exact opposite side.
Yeah, it was on the other side. It was more by the Imagination Pavilion.
Imagination Pavilion, yeah.
Yeah, and this one is more by, like, Mission Space and Test Track now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Club Cool. It is cool.
I think I'll take one of those newfangled trolleys down to the drugstore soda fountain and meet the boys for a cold sarsaparilla.
Okay, Sean, how about your next one?
Well, my next one is my last one on the list, but something, again, could be in a park, could be out of a park, and it's something that you could be overlooking because of timing and because of budgetary constraints, but piggybacking off the episode we just did about eating, I think that something that is I love to do when I can is take time to have a very nice dinner.
Yeah.
You know, you're not necessarily just eating in a park or eating just at your hotel. Taking time to make a plan to have a night where you go out to a really nice restaurant at Disney. There's no shortage of them. You know, go back to your hotel, get some nice clothes on, and go out and have an actual nice dinner out. Break yourself out of the parks, break yourself out of the craziness of the Disney atmosphere. Just have a nice dinner at one of the resorts or a nice restaurant down at Springs. I think that's an overlooked, air quotes, overlooked thing, mostly because of how busy and crazy people's schedules usually are at the parks. And again, it could be an expensive night and, you know, depending how much money you've already spent on your weekend or your trip. But an overlooked, again, overlooked, air quotes thing, I think for me is taking some time to enjoy some of the much nicer restaurants that Disney has to offer.
I think that's a really good point especially about going home and like showering and getting all like dressed up type of thing, like putting on not your Not your touring clothes. Not your theme park clothes.
Taking off the Hakuna Matata shirt.
Right, right.
Yeah. Your most expensive day ever shirt.
Yeah. Taking that Moisture Wicking polo shirt off.
That's exactly what it is.
Put it on an actual nice dress shirt.
Put on your good Moisture Wicking polo.
Oh, that's funny.
Calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
Okay, Andrew, how about your next one?
Okay, so mine is going to be another one for the kids, the Play Disney app. I feel like Disney was really pushing the Play Disney app. It's games for you to play while you're waiting online for the rides.
And little Easter eggs, too, right? Like around Epcot, right? They've got, is it like a DuckTales thing, right?
Yeah, now? Yes, yep.
And it was at one point Phineas and Ferb, and then before that, Kim Possible. Yeah.
So it's all things like that. That's pretty cool. It has some trivia games, has some matching games, has almost arcade games on it sometimes. So it's unique for every line that you're in too, which is nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that I kind of would like to go back and check. You know, that'd be interesting, but. To also include with that is, this is just with the app in general. The Play Disney app is different than the My Disney Experience app.
That was going to be my question. Is it in the My Disney app?
No, you have to download a whole new app, a Play Disney app. But in the My Disney Experience app, and it was rolled out with Genie and Genie Plus, I wonder if they still have the walking tours in Genie. Not Genie Plus, in Genie. They had these it'll tell you to turn it on in Fantasyland, and so you listen to it was supposed to be you're listening to Imagineers talk about Fantasyland as you were going through.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that they very quickly would stop giving you for free.
It seems
like something that you would maybe for the day you pay $39 or $49 bucks for access to. And you could throw in your headphones or connect to put on your AirPods or put your headphones on when you get to this area of Tomorrowland, chapter one. When you get to, it seems like something they could very easily monetize, and I'd be surprised if it was still something they offered for free. That is cool, though.
Like one of those guided tours of a museum.
Because especially in the Magic Kingdom, so much of the Keys to the Kingdom tour is being taken around the park by a cast member and being told the... You walk around the park with headphones on.
The walk and waltz footsteps is the same.
So that the cast member can talk kind of quietly, also because there's people that have not paid for the tour, and also there's a lot of not wanting to kind of give away the magic, as they'll say, but they'll talk kind of quietly into their microphone, but you can listen to them. And so much of that tour is giving, kind of not giving away the secrets, but telling you this stuff about the Magic Kingdom that you don't know about.
Okay, so you were right. It was part of Genie Plus that was the paid version, right? And it went away with the end of Genie Plus and the switching to Lightning Lane Multipass. It's not on the Lightning Lane Multipass, so I can't do it. I overlooked it, and now I can't do it.
Don't you hate that? Wow.
But it was...
Isn't there a song about that?
It was called Audio Tales, and it was inspired by Imagineering Field Guides.
Oh, cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. They should bring that back.
They should.
Rest in peace.
That is a cool... They should have Joe Rohde do it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, JJ.
Okay, this one is my last one. I've talked about all the other parks, and I'm going to talk about something. This one's going to be a little surprising for people. It's a ride that I don't go on every time that I go there because maybe not worth the line, but I feel like I'm going to rope drop it next time I go, and that's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Okay.
I don't usually want to wait online for it. It's still one of the, you have to buy individual Lightning Lane for it, so it's like...
Yeah.
Is it worth paying $15 a person to cut the line? Maybe not. But is it worth waiting an hour and a half? Definitely not. So I find myself kind of caught and not experiencing it as much as I should or would, because I think it's pretty good. I think it's better than Slinky Dog.
Yeah.
Anything to dig the knife in.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can go on record with my opinions on this ride again. I think this ride stinks.
I mean... I didn't think it was a very comfortable ride. It was a very small seat.
It was not designed very well for Americans, I feel like.
Even though it was
designed... Say what you really mean, Andrew.
Even though it was designed in America for Americans.
Yes. They did a poor job at that.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty small seat. I mean, they'll let anyone basically ride it. If the lap bar moves, they'll let you go. But yeah, it's a smaller seat.
Yeah.
So you feel a little claustrophobic in there.
Well, when you go on it again, sit in the back, you'll have a better. It's like you get whipped around a little bit more.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Back row has always got a little more whip. Yeah. But yeah, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think I'm gonna ride it again next time I go.
So true that like you don't want to spend so much time on it, but you don't want to spend money on it.
Right. So it's just like, you're just kind of caught in between. Like yeah. I think it's better than a lot of the attractions there. Like my opinion of it isn't negative.
It's a ride that I wouldn't wait online for it. I would not even think about spending
extra
$15 or $20 to ride it. It is a ride, though, that I would use
a regular fast pass,
a regular lightning lane.
So I wonder if in the future with, you know, by 2030, if we'll see that it's...
Oh, yeah, because it'll move off with the Villains Land stuff and the car stuff. It won't be... It won't be one of the featured, like, you have to pay extra to cut the line. It'll go... It'll
like, I remember back in the day of FastPass Plus, the parks were... I guess they're sort of done this way still, I guess, to an extent, but everything was tiered. Like, there were four rides in the Magic Kingdom. You pick one of these four, then you pick one of these five, and then you could pick... But, you know, everything was... And I think that eventually Seven Dwarfs Mine Train will...
Drop into a...
Fall out of the premier tier... Once now that Tiana is there and operating, and once Villains Land opens up, Tiana and the whatever the main attraction in Villains Land is will be the premier rides, and maybe Space Mountain stays a premier
ride. Cars ride might end up.
Yeah,
that's the Cars ride. I keep forgetting about Cars.
It might be the Cars ride and the Villains ride as the two you have to pay to cut the line, and then everything else is in the regular Fast Pass.
It's insane that when they first brought in the individual Lightning Lane, you had to pay for individual rides. It was Space Mountain that was the individual pay.
Yeah, it was Space Mountain and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, and it was, I remember it being like $7 to ride Space Mountain. That's
a pretty good deal.
It's a good price.
I wonder if that's ever going to become a thing in this world of nickel and diming us with these experiences that... If you don't want to buy multipass, you can buy just one experience on the multipass for like $11.
I wouldn't be opposed to them just getting rid of multipass in general.
And just being like, if you want to cut a line, individual lightning lanes only.
Right.
This ride is $8 to cut. That ride is $20 to cut.
Right.
And based off of demand.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the old,
system. It is the e-ticket system. It's a pay per ride.
Yeah,
you're just paying admission to get into the carnival, but you have to pay for all the rides.
That's
or
true.
You pay for the line cut.
Yes.
Right.
You could wait on the line, but I think your lines would go down too because I think less people would be paying for individual, for the lower rides. Not many people are going to be paying to cut, you know, Haunted Mansion.
But maybe they would if it's an hour long wait.
But I think people's priorities, like a family of five might pay to get on the Winnie the Pooh ride. You know, a family with kids might pay to get, you know, on Small World or Peter Pan.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just about getting on a volume of rides in a day. It's like, I'm in the Magic Kingdom. There's 20 rides here. Let's get on 10 of them. By any means necessary.
Let's try to make this day worth it.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's my list. Sean's done with his. Do you have anything else?
No, I'm all done. That was all my whole list.
Okay, great. Sean, you want to take us out? Oh, wait. You guys have time for a game?
He almost forgot the game.
I think we have time for a game.
It looks like we probably have time for a game.
Okay, I'll take it. Okay, guys, this is a return of our Mount Rushmouse series. in which we are going to pick our four icons of a certain thing at Walt Disney World.
This is my first time rushing a mouse.
Oh, wow. Wow. Congratulations. Collapse in the chat.
You could probably get a drop in of like, great job, recruits, or something.
I mean, I use great job recruits all the time. So this one is going to be specifically about dark rides. Now, a dark ride is not just any ride that is in the dark. A dark ride is a ride that moves guests through multiple scenes to create a narrative. It uses lighting and effects to take you out of just being in a building and into a story. For how I'm going to classify things, I'm also going to put the stipulation that it must physically move. The ride vehicle must move through scenes. So, no simulator rides. Using this, Space Mountain is a ride in the dark, but it's not a dark ride because it's not taking you through show scenes. On the contrary, Small World is a dark ride because it moves you through story scenes, even though it's not actually physically dark in the room.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions?
No questions.
No questions. None. So, no questions?
Oh.
Oh, we do have a question. Okay, we got a question.
How many are in the... Four?
Mount Rushmore four. Is four. There are four presidents on Mount Rushmore.
Hold on. Let's stop. The history nerd.
Yeah, I know.
The history nerd.
I think he was doing it...
No, listen.
Asked how many spaces are on Mount
Rushmore. I can tell you all the presidents that are on it. I just can't count them.
Well, what are the presidents? Who are the presidents on it?
Okay, so...
Because I've been there. I've been to Mount Rushmore.
It's George Washington. Uh-huh. I'm going to do it in order.
Wow.
All right. Okay. I'm going to do it in order of when they were president.
Okay. It's
George Washington.
Yep.
It's Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
It's Abraham Lincoln.
That's right.
And it's Theodore Roosevelt.
Now, Andrew.
That is exactly
how
right.
How many is that?
That's one finger. That's two fingers. That's three. Four fingers.
So it's four. Okay, let's start with Sean. Sean, what is your Mount Rushmouse of dark rides?
I have a list that I'm pretty happy with. In no particular order, but I'm gonna save the one that I think is the most controversial. It's not controversial.
Ah, don't do that one first because I want to know if I have it.
It's not controversial.
No, do it last. Controversial last.
I have the Haunted Mansion.
Yep.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you're going through all of them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Go through all of them.
I have Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I have Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah.
And a personal favorite of mine.
Okay.
A defunct ride.
Oh.
A ride no longer in operation.
Okay.
I have the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't even think of the Great Movie Ride.
That is
a
really
dark
good
ride.
One. And I do like how iconic it is in the fact that it had real actors,
yeah.
And it had a lot of show scenes,
and it was
took you a bunch of different places.
It was the ride that was, I mean, it was Hollywood Studios.
Yeah,
It was a movie ride in a movie park, and it was always like I whenever I used to go, I would always get, we really have to go on this ride again? Yes.
Yeah.
A must ride when I was at Hollywood Studios. Loved the Great Movie Ride. And yeah, that's
yeah,
going up on my
list.
Yeah, I
think it was definitely dated, but it was a gem. Like if it just got a refurb, people would still love it.
I was scared every time I rode it.
Oh my gosh, that alien scene?
Yeah.
That scared yes. the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah. And the scene of Indiana Jones where like all the smoke comes out and you know he's like stop, you know.
Oh yes, the I mean when I was a little kid the guy that commandeers your train,
yeah, the burglar,
yes,
the burglar takes over your train
like it's so fun and it did get a little dated and run down.
Sure.
It definitely needed a deep refurb.
I think once they took away the person that was on the train,
the guide.
When they took away the guide,
yeah,
then
yeah.
it was going
because the person still came on to your car.
Yes,
but like it used to be that like they would like throw the guide off the car.
Yes, he would save you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
oh
that,
my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely...
There were other choices I could have done. I could have used a couple other ideas, but I don't know. That one.
I don't think that was controversial.
That one kept sticking out. That one kept sticking out to me. So Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, Rise of the Resistance, and rest in peace, the great movie ride.
Disney I needs love to that scare list. You more. Disney yes, needs more
a little
scare.
More, a little more scary.
Yeah.
Not maybe not Alien Encounter scary, but...
More scary.
I think, but a little I think scary. You'll get that in Villain's Land.
Great movie ride scary. That's what it
yeah,
was. That was a good scary.
Well, Bug's Life scary. The soon to be rest in peace.
Yeah.
Soon to be rest in peace. There are people that think the dinosaur ride is scary.
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I guess if you, the it's more of a, but it's more of a jump scare thing of like, oh,
yeah.
T-Rex or, you know, is there.
Definitely not our dino. Go, go, go!
Okay, Andrew, how about your Mount four. Rush mouse?
So I had six in here.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's got to be four.
It's got to be four. Okay, so I have a list here of four. And in my mind, the way I decide this list is I picked them not just because they were good, but for some reason, like there was some aspect of that ride that differentiated it from other dark rides. So I'm not saying these are the best dark rides. I'm putting them on a mantle because of how
innovative or they push
innovative I mean, that's or part unique. Of the reason I picked the Great Movie Ride.
Yes.
It's not the best ride that's ever been in Disney World, but I think it fits
it's so unique.
Yeah.
What the description of a dark ride is, and also it just fit where it was.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it's super unique with the actors and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm agreeing with you on Pirates because I feel like Pirates is so iconic and yeah. it's one of the first, the first boat ride.
Yeah.
And it's the birth of combining, like, there's the drop, it's a little thrilling, and there's a lot of that, like, the scale of so many animatronics, it really sets a tone that is something that you see in a dark ride.
And that was one of the first rides that had a lot of animatronics.
It was the first ride with a lot of animatronics, right? Because, I mean, Tiki Room had a lot of animatronics, but it was a show.
Right. And those were small.
And they're little. They're not people.
Right. Yep. And like, I don't know where I heard this, but like, that's where they figured out of how they could play a song. Or maybe that was through... Never mind.
No,
take that out.
No, I think Small World probably is the one where they figured out the loop of the song.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going with Pirates as my number one. So that was in the past. Now I'm coming right to the future. Well, not the future, but the present.
Back to the future?
Back to the future.
That's universal property.
I'm going to Mickey's Runaway Railway.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm picking this because... It's trackless, right? And I feel like this is a new direction that Disney's going to be going in. And they did a really good job with mixing screens, but also animatronics and set pieces.
And practical effects. Digital effects. Yes. I agree with that assessment. And Mickey's. So that building is getting a lot of love.
That building
that's
is.
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
I do think it's a worthy replacement of the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a really spectacular ride.
It is. And I think it's so much better than the mouse. Remy's.
That abhorrent ride in Epcot.
I don't think it's abhorrent.
I just think it's... But we experienced it out of order.
Yeah.
Remy is a ride from 2014. And Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway is a ride from 2020.
Yeah.
But we got them in reverse. We got Minnie and Mickey in 2020. And then we got Remy in 2022. So... We're just all out of whack with how we perceive. Like, Remy came first.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, the original trackless ride.
No, it's not.
Right? No?
The original trackless is in Tokyo Disneyland. It's the Winnie the Pooh ride in Tokyo Disneyland. And it is supposed to be spectacular.
Everything in Tokyo Disneyland is
spectacular. I know.
We need to do a corporate
the
retreat
second
to
Disney
Tokyo
corporate
Disneyland.
Retreat is going to be at
we need a
Tokyo.
Few more subscribers. Only a few more.
A few more five-star reviews.
Fund the trip to Tokyo.
Okay, my third, because I'm only halfway done. My third, I'm going all the way back to the beginning of Magic
Time?
Kingdom.
Oh.
Snow White's Scary Adventure.
Oh, okay. Scary. You're bringing Scary back.
I really think that Disney World needs more Scary. And the fact that they had to, like...
Make the ride less scary.
And that it was called Snow White's Adventure, and then they had to put the word scary in it so that people would know that it was scary because, like, kids were coming out crying and everything like that. That was just, like, a pretty awesome dark ride that, I don't know, scared a lot of kids, so...
Yeah, And it was a version of that classic. It's called the pretzel style. It's just with the tight turns, like Mr. Toad and Pinocchio in Disneyland and
Winnie the Pooh.
Well, yeah, Winnie the Pooh is still on that system. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, and then you got my fourth one was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, and the reason why, but only the Magic Kingdom one that had the dual track.
Double tracks.
The double track where you thought you were going to hit each other as you started out, right? That was really cool. And the only ride.
It's another scary ride because you go to hell in that ride.
I was about to say, it's the only ride in Disney where you die. You die and go to hell. That's amazing that Disney did that. Like, I want them to do that again.
I want to die and go to hell.
I want Disney to get scary again.
Okay.
Make Disney scary again.
I like the petition. I like it. I'm going to share my list. And the first version of my list really mirrored Sean a lot. I am going to highlight Haunted Mansion for the tricks that it pulls. Pirates existed in Disneyland first, and I think Haunted Mansion is one of the ones that translated better to Disney World than Disneyland, and Pirates in Disneyland is insane because it's longer and whatever. Like, it's just unbelievable ride. But I'm going to highlight Haunted Mansion on this. I'm going to highlight what I define as maybe the best singular ride experience Disney's ever done, Rise of the Resistance. If you've never been on it, don't watch anything about it. Just go on it and go for just the craziest ride.
But also know that it's a dark ride, so it's not, I feel like people sometimes go on it expecting...
It's not a mega thrill ride. You're so inserted in the story in a way.
You've never been more immersed in the world and in the story than you are on this ride.
Yes, it is by far the most immersive experience Disney's ever done, and I hope they can top it. I hope they can top it in Villains Land. Next one. Now I'm going to start to differ from you guys. Tower of Terror.
Whoa. Wait a second.
You move forward.
I don't think.
Your ride train goes up and down and forward.
But that's a completely, it's a drop ride. There's got to be another name
for that. There is a dark. You go up an elevator. You move forward.
I feel like that's the only part that's a dark ride.
Tells a story. The whole ride tells a story. And then there's a fantastic drop sequence at the end of it.
I think this walks the line perfectly enough that I don't feel the need to criticize the decision. I think it's right there.
Oh, I found the line. But maybe I'm going to step over the line with my next one.
I think I know what your next one is. And I think this one more stepped over the line than that.
Well, if you...
Please, Tom, write in and tell him he's wrong.
Brian.
Sam.
Elise. Emily.
Okay, now, boys, if you just stop carrying on, like... We just might dedicate this next song to y'all.
The last one on my list, and I know this one's controversial, but I'm ready to defend it. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. I know it's a roller coaster. I know it's an in-the-dark roller coaster, and I started this off with Space Mountain is a ride in the dark, not a dark ride.
Right.
And now I am picking a roller coaster that's in the dark. But there is a... There's a definitive closing scene, a definitive opening scene, and while you're on there, there's a battle with the guy,
I don't remember what his name.
Big Colossus looking guy or whatever it is. I don't know what the name of
it is. Let's call him Colossus.
Yeah, whatever. It's not. But and then the cosmic generator, like you're trying to rescue the cosmic generator, you see the ships, you're getting whipped around planets and stuff. It's a definitive show scene. I know it's a thrilling ride as well, but it is for sure moving you through show scenes, plural, and immersing you in a story.
It is. So I agree with you in this.
It also amplifies the ride, because if that ride existed outside without all the story around it, it would be a good roller coaster. It is an elite roller coaster because of all of the show elements around it, all the effects, the pre-show, the whole experience of it makes it an elite experience.
I think that what makes it that it can be a dual roller coaster and dark ride is that they turn you to face.
It's an omni-coaster, the very first omni-coaster where they control the spin and they show you show scenes by spinning you towards them, just like the Haunted Mansion did.
Can we go back to Tower of Terror? It's just not a dark ride.
It is 100% a dark ride.
It's not a dark ride. I think
Tower of Terror is more a dark ride than Guardians.
I agree with his assessment.
Guardians of the Galaxy is remotely a dark ride. I think we are stretching.
Mm.
We are stretching our
I mean, I could always default back to Pirates as being in, but
we're stretching our definition of a dark ride.
Well, if I
just
broke
enough.
If I broke the definition, guys, let me know, but I'm going to stick with the controversial and my four: Haunted Mansion, Rise of the Resistance, Tower of Terror, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah.
I'll put an asterisk on it. We can ask the fans. We can ask the people that know better.
I think we should ask. I think.
Oh, we need to ask the fans.
Yes.
We need a poll. But I stand by it. I stand by my decision to include it on this because I think by this definition, by my own slanted definition, that this
by the
is
definition
included.
That I specifically created.
I don't know. You know, because just in the sense of
I was a little rascally, wasn't I?
You were. I feel like you went against the spirit of what the Mount Rush Mouse was supposed to be.
No, that was the spirit of it. I think it's a dark ride.
He picked four things. That's really
I picked four dark rides. Yeah. I picked four dark rides. One is questionable.
And they are all elite in their own
way. Here's the thing. If it's a problem, I am willing to possibly acquiesce on Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think
Tower of Terror is 100% a dark
ride. We need him to issue a formal apology.
Who?
JJ.
If the fans agree that my list is invalid, then I will issue an apology and amend my list and put Pirates in there instead of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind is a dark ride.
So can I tell you, and this goes out to the fans, when you send us in your bracket...
Oh!
When you send us in your bracket, please tell us whether or not you think JJ's list is valid. And if it's not valid, which ride is not valid? Is it Guardians of the Galaxy or Tower of Terror? And if you already sent us your bracket, please just email us anyway telling us that JJ's list is not valid. But please
tell them it's valid. Just say it's valid. It's valid.
And just to remind our listeners that next month, which is the month of
Mouse.
Month of Mouse.
AKA March.
The third month of the year. We're going to have a special series going on called Mouse Madness. We put together 64 Disney World bars, and they're going head-to-head in an epic bracket showdown to determine the ultimate drinking spot at Walt Disney World. We've stacked four categories, four regions, park bars versus resort bars versus Disney Spring bars, and restaurant bars. And we're going to be debating and voting, and you guys, the listeners, are going to have a vote in each matchup to see which bar is the best bar.
And if you have some of the best brackets, we've got a couple hats and a couple beanies that we can give away to the people that do the best.
Yeah, so head to the show notes, click on episode details, or go to Instagram, find the link to the bracket. You'll see the link to the bracket there. Download it, fill it in, and email it back to us. And where can they email it to, Sean?
You might hear in just a minute.
ReedyGeeks@gmail.com. ReedyGeeks@gmail.com. All right, Sean, you want to take us out?
Did you really just do that? That's a whole part of my thing.
Okay, Sean, want to take us out?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks podcast. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Any questions, comments, concerns, future nicknames, or topics, email us at ReedyGeeks@gmail.com. Any brackets for the Mouse Madness bar extravaganza, email us at ReedyGeeks@gmail.com. Check us out on all our socials at ReedyGeeks, and we'll see you next time.
week's Honest Send-Off comes courtesy of Hannibal from Chicago.
If you have an Honest Send-Off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, readygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schopey, Sean Murphy, and J.J. Hefner. Music and audio engineering by J.J. Hefner. Bon voyage!